We start Parshas and Sefer Devarim this week, and everyone, all of the Mefarshim note that the book Seder Devarim is something distinct from the other parts of the Chumash. We know that the name that is given to Sefer Devarim is Mishneh Torah, a repeat review of the Chumash. And many Mefarshim ask the question, is Devarim really a repeat of the Chumash? And Rabbi Liebtag, in his essay, writes, let me show you how this is not an accurate translation. Sefer Bereishis, right, is the story of creation, the flood, the Avos, Yosef and his brothers. Almost no mention in Devarim. With regards to Sefer Shmos, which is the Sefer HaGeula, the details of leaving Mitzrayim, very few details. There are no specifics about the Mishkan, but we do talk about the giving of the Torah on Sinai and the Chet HaEgel. Vayikra, Sefer Devarim, Rabbi Liebtag says, makes almost no mention of any of the mitzvos or stories. Except in Parshas Kedoshim, and some, he says, are repeat of some of the halachas of Kashrus, but it's not a complete summary. Sefer Bamidbar, Devarim does repeat the story of the Meraglim, the story of Moshe defeating Sichon and Og, it says with some minor changes. But there are many other stories which are mentioned in Bamidbar, and many other topics such as Nazir, Sota, Chala, which don't get recognized. And he says, on top of it all, Sefer Devarim has tremendous numbers of mitzvos that had never been recorded in the first four books of the Torah. So, if Sefer Devarim was really to be a repeat of that which had been learned before, it seems to have not done the job. And he said, if you asked a student in high school, right, to give me a summary of the first four books of the Torah, and he gave you Sefer Devarim, he says you'd fail them. So he says it must mean something a lot more. He says Sefer Devarim, he says, is not merely a review of certain mitzvot. He says, if we look at it carefully, we will see that Sefer Devarim really comprises three speeches by Moshe Rabbeinu. The first speech is sort of an introductory speech. And then he says, there is the main speech, which we will go through up to, he says, the end of what the chapter would be, chapter 26 in the King James division of the Chumash. And then there's a summary speech as well. We have to realize that we are now probably at the last 5 weeks or so of Moshe's life. because we had been given a date in the end of Bamidbar that they were in the 11th month of the year Shvat, and only Adar would have been left, and Moshe was Nifter on Zion Adar when Vezos HaBracha ends the Torah. Moshe addresses Devarim to a new generation, or the generation that is going into Eretz Yisrael. He has tremendous emphasis on being swayed by the Goyim, especially with regards to idol worship, not to intimidate or to assimilate with those nations, but to remain totally loyal to Torah Hashem. We know that Devarim also has the Tochacha repetition, where Moshe predicts what could happen, which many of the Mefarshim point out was the actual history the Jewish people have gone through in the various exiles. Then it concludes by telling us about the Gula Shalema. And if you start with Bereishis, and you now have mention of the Gula Shalema and the Tachlis of the world, the Torah has encompassed all of existence. We also note that in Sefer Devarim, it's written in first person, Moshe speaks. Whereas in the other Svarim of the Torah, we get Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lamer, third person, God spoke to Moshe saying. And we get Vayoymer Hashem el Moshe, God spoke to Moshe. Here in Devarim, Moshe says, this is what I told you. This is what we experienced. This was my reaction. This was your reaction. It's a totally different tense, so to speak, in doing it. And that led some of the Bible critics to their heresy that this was not the same author as the first books of the Torah. The Gemara in Gittin addresses the question, when were the Chamishei Chumshei Torah, when were the five books of the Torah written down? And it says there's two opinions. It says, after teaching Moshe an entire Torah passage, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would dictate immediately the composition, the way he wanted it to be read in the Torah. Therefore, Moshe would continually write as he learnt. Before he was Nifter, Moshe sewed all the individual parchments that he had written, and lo and behold, we had a complete Sefer Torah, right? We have the obvious problem that everybody notes in Zos HaBracha. How could Moshe have written and Moshe died? Did somebody else write it? Were only the letters written without a composition of words? And there's a lot written about it and what it means. Also, in the years they spent in the Midbar, Moshe learned and taught a lot of the Torah orally. He taught it to the people, not from a text. And some of this text was only put into the Chumash in the 40th year. We're also told that Moshe made his speeches, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically took them and had them inserted into the Torah. So Sefer Devarim is distinct from the other four books of the Chumash, and it imparts the lessons that the nation that is going into Klal Yisroel is going to need to form the society required, the Sanhedrin system, the government system. We have the Psalm Tosi Melech Mitzvah, have a king, the social justice system. It has to be available as a means to enhance Ahavas Chinam, basically love for every Jew, because unlike the Midbar, where you lived with all these miracles, and therefore you could probably isolate to a large extent within your Shevet, now you're going to have inter-Shevet trade, inter-Shevet relationships, etc. And so we need a canon, we need a rule of law to apply in that situation. Parshas Devarim opens after HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already told Moshe that he was going to be nifter after the final battle in Bamidbar, which was against Midian. And Moshe made a request to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, allow me to review the entire Torah with the people before I am nifter. I want to have the opportunity to clarify any difficulties which they may have, the shilas, etc. I want to again acquaint them afresh with the details of the Torah laws. HaKadosh Baruch Hu honored Moshe's request. And it says, on Rosh Chodesh Shvat itself, 37 days before Zion Oder, when Moshe would go to Shemayim, he told them, assemble the people and review mitzvot with them. Let them learn the mitzvot, which until this point in time, they haven't learned because they're only going to be introduced in Sefer Devarim. Moshe had learned all the mitzvot already. There were two means of communication. One was at Har Sinai, and Moshe was able to communicate with the Kodesh Baruch Hu at will by walking to the Ohel Moed, and Hashem would speak to him from between the two Kruvim. And Moshe, being the thoughtful leader that he was, basically decided that before I go through my halacha shir, before I teach all the mitzvot necessary to teach now, I am going to first teach Musar. I need to enhance the level of Yirah Shamayim, fear of Hashem and the people, because this is something they're going to need. They're going to have basically integrated in them in order to go through the period of, right, that they're going to be in Eretz Yisrael and stay there. And Moshe knew about the Golus that would occur. It said, Moshe, so to speak, right, remembered the lesson at the waters of Meribah when he started off with the comment, "Listen, you rebels and fools." Then he realized that this was the wrong way to address the nation right now. And he also was afraid that the people might actually resent this type of admonition, and they could rage against him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Moshe, at this time, you are free from any harm from the people. No one is going to stand against you. They are not going to complain, and they're going to listen. It says, Moshe prepared a very, very lengthy speech, which would be appropriate. And Klal Yisroel, realizing they were going to lose Moshe Rabbeinu, had another, let's say they had extra attentiveness. It says that the time before a gadol is nifter is a time that he can talk to his children, his students. When hearing the faults in a single sermon, the object of rebuke is less discouraged somehow. It's a better time. It avoids the fact that if I give you mussar and you later fail, I am not going to be here in Olam Haba, that you would be embarrassed. People realize that the words of a gadol in his last days are the absolute emes, and it goes into their heart. Moshe said, before we defeated Sihon and Og, the mighty giants, and conquering their kingdoms, I didn't have an appropriate time to make this statement. He said, had I spoken beforehand, they might have felt that I didn't have the ability to defeat Sihon and Og. And my comment of shortfalls is basically to cover my inability to have a successful victory here. Now, however, the Jewish people saw that Moshe had defeated Sihon and Og, and that they had won their final battle against Midian. And they were finally at a state of tranquility because all of their enemies, as enumerated by Hashem, were now gone. It says, Moshe began to review and teach the mitzvos, and he did it first in Lashon HaKodesh, in Ivrit, and then in all 70 languages of the world. It says, this was a superhuman effort. someone being able to give basically a mussar shmuz, an advice, for 37 days and in 70 languages. We can imagine what a nace this really was. Moshe was the one who had said to God, "I am the one of feeble lips. I'm not a good orator." Aaron had to be his speaker. Yet, Sefer Devarim was clearly said by Moshe. His speech had been healed. It was while he was on Har Sinai, when he studied Torah day and night before receiving the second Luchos, which he brought down on Yom Kippur. While in Shemayim, all he did was learn. There was no nourishment and there was no sleep. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically had him live in this divine surroundings, teaching him profound revelations. And in this manner, as Moshe learned more and more, he became this perfect orator. Moshe said, "I want every single Jew to attend my 37-day seminar." Because if anyone is absent, they may later turn to those who were there and said, "Had we been there, we would not have accepted this. How did you allow Moshe to get away with saying that?" We would have numerous responses, and it points out his inaccuracy. Therefore, Moshe insisted that anyone who could make that comment be there, and that all the Jews would be there. It said HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused Moshe's voice to be magnified so that it could be heard by everyone clearly simultaneously. Moshe began recalling Matan Torah. He says, "You received the Torah at Har Sinai, and you also had to learn certain halachas in the plains of Moav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu led you through Nisim, miracles. You saw the splitting of the Yam Suf into 12 paths. Nevertheless," he says, we had difficulties. We had failures. We had times when you departed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways, and you made HaKadosh Baruch Hu angry. When we spent 31 days in the Midbar after leaving Mitzrayim, you complained that you would have preferred to have died in Mitzrayim, and you wanted meat as well as bread. This showed a level of lack of faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam. He said, "Just recently, we had the problem of the 24,000 people dying in the plague when people served this Baal Peor. When Paroi's army came close at the Yam Suf, again, you said, we would have been better off had we been killed during the plague of darkness. because our corpses are going to be left exposed in the desert to decompose. We had the problem with the Meraglim at Paran, where you rejected the land and where you subjected yourself to the 40 years and to the problems of Tisha B'Av. You complained about the Mon. Even if you did not like it, you were kafui toif. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to you. It's not something to complain about. And secondly, you ignored the fact that the Mon is the most refined form of nourishment ever created. He said, noblemen pay the highest prices for the most pure white bread. And this bread was so much better, so much more nutritious. And you couldn't accept the fact that your bodies would absorb all of it, that there never was any waste product. You resembled, he says, Adam Avinu, Adam Harishai, who complained at the, right, when he said to God, the woman you gave me caused me to sin. Remember Korach and what happened. And remember the one Aveira that seems to have been the one that was the worst of all. Even though there's forgiveness, Hashem said it's going to linger, being the golden calf. The problem, he says, with the golden calf, I'm going to remind you, was a problem of being too wealthy. God gave you too much wealth at Yom Suf, and that's the danger of wealth. Wealth can be misused, and being misused can lead to tremendous downfall and avera. Okay, we'll go this far today, and we'll pick up some more of Moshe.